Question for you today we're going to ponder upon is this. Are you willing? Everybody? Boy, look at that. Lots of volunteers. All right, let's wrap it up. Let's go. We all have things to do. I'm quite certain. All right. Thought there'd be a little bit more people that would be like, wait a minute, am I willing for what? Anybody thought that? Okay. Okay. There you go. Are you willing for what? Before I volunteer. All right, so I got a couple scenarios. I think you'll like some of these. Who here is willing to go with me after church? Of course, we'll all get ice cream. Yay! Ah, that's it. I knew it. I hit one. Hit the jackpot. Me too. Tosh could wake me up in the middle of the night and say, you want to get ice cream? I'd be in the car before she even knew what was happening. I'm like, yeah. Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I'm totally willing for that. Who would be willing to go on, let's say, a $1,000 shopping spree to the store of your choice? You get $1,000. Online stores, you Amazon lovers, are in play. Yeah? Oh, everybody's so willing right now. Who out there is willing to sell everything they have, their house, their cars, everything, and give it to the poor? That's exactly what... Oh, yeah. Yeah, what we're supposed to give 10%. Who out there is willing to totally give their life over to a foreign country to become a missionary and maybe in a hostile environment, leave the comfort of your home and go to that country no matter what, because that's what God wants you to do? Who's willing? All right. Yeah, no, yeah, that's the caveat, right? The point is, kind of going through some of those scenarios is, boy, it's certainly easy to be willing to do things when it's comfortable. There's no risk. Oh, yes, I would love to get ice cream, and definitely I want to get $1,000 worth of Dick's Sporting Goods merchandise. Yes, I do. Tennis shoes. It's super willing. It's super easy to be willing when it's in our comfort zone, isn't it? It's when we get out of that comfort zone that's and there's risks that you're like, don't know about that, Pastor Jamie. I get it. I'm the exact same way. I would have been yes to the first two and like, really? On the other two. But what happens when God asks you to do that? Pastor said it. It's like, did God tell me? When God asks us, how willing are we to step out of our comfort zone to a risky, maybe uncomfortable, maybe unknown, maybe even undesirable situation? How willing are we? How willing are you? I'll ask myself, how willing am I? That's what we're going to talk about today. Willingness means, when I looked it up, there's three words that I really like, and we'll go back to these. That you're ready, eager, and prepared to do something. It's an action word. Willingness is action. It takes action. You got to do it. And you're ready, you're eager, and prepared. Ready, eager, prepared. Let's remember those things. Today we're going to talk, since it's Christmas time, my favorite time of the year, we're going to talk about a couple people who are totally willing to do what God asked them to do, even though it was super duper risky, uncomfortable, undesirable. But without these couple people, the birth of Jesus would have looked different. I will never say that it would not have happened, because God's always going to find the people that are willing to work out things for him, but it sure would have looked different. Those two people are Joseph and Mary. Did you guys catch on to where I was going with that? All right. All right. So the first account we want to read this morning is out of Matthew, chapter 1, 18 through 24. This is Joseph's nativity story, if you will. This is what happened to Joseph, and we're going to see how he responded. And we'll talk about the risks that was involved for him. So Matthew 1, starting at 18 through 24. This is the birth of Jesus. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her. Quietly. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. That's Joseph, what happened to Joseph when God asked him to do something that was really risky, really uncomfortable. There's a lot of risks here for Joseph. Let's just talk about that real quick. His reputation was totally at stake here within his community. It would have looked as if he had married an adulteress, someone who was with child before they were married. And in his time, you followed the law. The law was it. If you wanted to have a good life, a good spiritual life, a good moral life, be held in good standing in the community, you followed the law. And the law at the time said, stone Mary, kill her off. She's disobeyed, she's an adulteress, you should not marry this person. There could have also been a risk of controversy, right? Whispers in the community, oh my gosh, what are these two up to? Which would have made it really hard, uncomfortable, undesirable place to live. These are young people at the time. So think of their whole entire life, all of this would have been hanging over them. One decision, a huge decision, but one decision that he would have made could have affected the rest of his life. It was really risky for Joseph. We're going to talk about Mary in a minute. I think we know a lot of her risks. But for Joseph, it was risky as well. How are they going to pull, they're going to pull off this scheme? How can he be trusted? How are you going to live in a community and not be a trusted member of that community? He thought he only had two options, right? Divorce her quietly or have her stoned. But instead, the third option came up. The third option came up from the angel. The angel of God gave him a third option and said, it's okay. Take Mary as your spouse. It's going to be all right. This is what happened to her. And if you look in Scripture, I don't see him arguing with the angel. I don't see him questioning the angel. I don't see him. There's no dialogue there. It just says when he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He discarded all the risks and everything that could happen to him. And he said, all right, I'm willing. I'm ready. I'm eager. I'm prepared to do what God wants me to do here. I don't understand it. The unknown. Who loves the unknown? Oh, yeah, that's great, right? So much unknown here. What's going to happen? How's this all going to shake out? He doesn't know, but the angel told him. He was a willing participant and said, okay, God, I hear you. I'm going to go, and I'm going to do this for you. Willing servant. Doesn't matter what the fallout was. He was going to do what God had told him to do through the angel. Okay. So that's Joseph. Let's go to Mary. That's in Luke. Luke 1, 26 through 38 is what I'm going to read for Mary's, what happened to Mary and how she found out about this amazing thing she was going to do. Luke 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How can this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Mary, lots of risks. I think we really have to understand what these two people were going through and really try to understand the risks at the time. Her life was at risk. We already talked about the law would have said for her to be stoned. That's a pretty big risk. Just saying. If she remained unmarried, she would have been cast out of her family. So let's say she survives and no one stones her. In society herself, she remains unmarried. She's going to be cast out of her family. No one's going to be able to take care of her. She would probably end up begging for survival or even enter in prostitution for survival. Because that's the only way she would be able to support herself. She risked being called not in her right mind, if you will, for lack of other terms. Who in the world in history has said they are pregnant from the Holy Spirit? You know, it sounds crazy. I'm sure people are like, what? Scratching their head. This only happened one time. So people could say to her, yeah, that Mary, she's not all with it. Something's off a little. Childbirth alone at that time was risky. Just childbirth. There were a ton of uncomfortable risks here. A ton, including death and a horrible life. But the angel came to Mary, and her response is verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Once again, just like Joseph, no dialogue, no questions. No, I don't know. Let me weigh the pros and cons list. That's what I do. Pro, con. The risk list was much longer, right? But the pro was so magnificent. And she was willing. She was ready, eager, and prepared. These two examples of these two people show those three words, right? Ready, eager, prepared for God to use them. Willing people who toss the risks aside and only listen to the voices of angels and God's direction. I don't know about you, but that's pretty amazing. In my cerebral mind, there's a lot of things that go on other than, okay, when stuff like this were to happen. Pretty unbelievable. So how can we take these two examples and apply it to us? I know for me, if the risk is higher, my willingness is a lot lower. It's very much like a teeter-totter, I'd say. The lower the risk, oh, sure, I'll do that. Oh, the higher the risk, let me think about it. Especially if it's unknown, if the risks are unknown or there's an unknown variable in my math world, that would be X. If there's X here, I'm definitely not going to be very high on the willingness scale, if you will. But that's not how God wants us to live our life for him. That's honestly not how God gets his work done, clearly, right? The Savior of the world had to come into this world with two earthly parents who heard the words from the angels and said, okay. They didn't worry about the risk teeter-totter like I have in my life. So how can we be ready, eager, and prepared as Christians for when God asks us to do something that we're like, oh, man, no, I really don't want to do that. Does that ever happen to anybody else or just me? The whole, okay, all right, good. Just making sure it applies to you guys. Ready. I think when I hear the word ready, that means that we're available. We're open to hear our instruction from God. You see that from Mary and Joseph. They were open to hear the instruction. They were available. They were listening to God. They understood who he was and what his plan was. And so they said, okay, that's fine. I'll toss the risks aside because I have faith in the fact that God is going to take care of me. They were super ready. They were eager. And I love that. I love eagerness. Their hearts were just, they had a depth of desire to do what God wanted them to do. We need that within us. Pray about that, to have that eagerness, that desire to do what God wants you to do, whatever it is. It needs to be our driving force to do and listen to God and his instruction and then be eager to just do it. No questions asked. And then prepared, spiritually prepared. Now, I'm going to say, like, physically sometimes or mentally, I am not prepared. But I'm trying to make sure I'm spiritually prepared at all times because that's the one that's important. Being spiritually prepared means that you are prayed up. You're in communion with God. You learn more about him. You're in relationship with him. I also changed prepared to pre-prayed. Like that? Thank you. That was fun when I wrote that down. I'm like, yeah, prepared, pre-prayed. You're prayed up. And I know for me, if I'm in communion with God, I'm in relationship with him, we're talking, I know what he wants, it's easier to be eager and ready to go ahead and do what he wants. And I kind of thought about it like with people in our life. If a stranger comes to me and asks me to do something crazy, I'm like, well, let me think about that. But if Pastor Tosh were to come to me and ask me anything, I'd be like, yeah, because I know her, right? I'm in relationship with her. I know who she is and what drives her. So I trust that. So the more that you're in relationship and communion with God, the more you're going to trust him and know that, yep, God's got me on this. I'm prayed up. I know what he wants. I'm in relationship with him. Pre-prayed. You're welcome. I would be totally remiss if I didn't really mention the third person in this nativity story who was willing. And that's Jesus, right? And Deacon Dawn prayed earlier, and I was like, oh, man, that's exactly spot on when she prayed, thank you for coming to earth. Thank you for suffering with us. Thank you for enduring this life. Because, look, Jesus had a nice little comfortable home that was happening up in heaven. And he willingly came to earth to deal with shame, hunger, pain, strife, grief, all that stuff. A horrific death in the end, right? You talk about being risky and out of your comfort zone. Mary and Joseph are great examples. And then you got Jesus. All three people in this story stepped out of their comfort zones, did something hugely risky, and were willing participants to get Jesus into this world to save us all. Paul writes in Philippians, oh no, I did move my paper. Philippians 2, luckily I found it. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. After being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. I don't think I need to go on about Jesus and his willingness and all that he went through. But all three of these individuals were willing to listen to God. Being willing always isn't the easy route, okay? It's not always easy. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is, totally. But sometimes it's not. And it's risky, and it's uncomfortable, and it's undesirable. But I really ask you this morning to think about how you can improve in your willingness to God to do what God has asked you to do. How you can become ready, eager, and prepared / pre-prayed to do what God asks us to do. How do you toss aside your risks and your uncomfortableness and your worries and your concerns to do what God wants us to do? So my final question is the same as my first question. Are you willing? And I don't mean for y'all just to raise your hands and say yeses today. Pray and think on this and how we can be better in our willingness. Because we need to really seriously examine ourselves in that area because God is counting on it. God was counting on Mary and Joseph to be willing to do this, to bring Jesus into the world, bring salvation to all of us, right? God is counting on you for whatever he wants you to do. And it doesn't have to be bringing the Savior into the world, right? It can be little stuff little everyday things that you think don't matter are a big thing to that person that it may affect and to God. Be ready, be eager, and be prepared. Let's be a willing church. And when they read Advent today, I was like, wow, you got to be kidding me. It totally ties into peace. As they were reading about Abraham doing what God told him to do, he was a willing participant too. When you're a willing person, you have peace that passes any understanding that you can possibly imagine. So if you've got unpeace or you're unpeaceful about something, God's working on you with something, be willing. Turn more towards willing. Be more ready. Be more eager. Be more prepared. And you're going to have peace that you have never known before. It ties right in beautifully to having peace deep down in our hearts. Let's be willing.